delighted to welcome Jackson County Sheriff Gary Schutte back to the program. How's it going, Gary?
Good morning, Greg. It's going well. The reason why I wanted to come in and talk with you today was trying to clear up a little problem that we have with people interpreting the ballot for this millage on the jail incorrectly. One of the things that is said, it's right at the bottom of the ballot, as it talks about if this millage is approved, a portion of that millage will be distributed to the Downtown Development Authority, the City of Jackson, and then there's other local authorities within Grass Lake, Springport, Blackman, Leoni, and I think Parma as well. It also includes a Brownfield Redevelopment Authority in the City of Jackson. And I've had several phone calls into my office saying, well, hey, this millage might be a sleight of hand here. I don't think I'm going to vote for it. Well, what I wanted to clear up is that this is standard language. It goes on every ballot. Every ballot initiative that's countywide has it. So even the past ballots that included the animal shelter, for instance, the parks, all had this language contained within it. Mm-hmm. And simply all that it means is that a small percentage of the millage collected within those districts, those defined boundary districts, they get an incremental portion of that millage. And it's important to understand that this is full disclosure and it has to be on the ballot. So it doesn't mean that somebody in Liberty or Concord or Hanover is going to be paying for the Downtown Development Authority in the City of Jackson. That's just not the case. And I wanted people to understand how that ballot language worked a little bit.
Is there a reasoning behind that money going there?
Yeah, there is. And it's dependent upon when they establish the authorities. Typically, they do it because in a particular area, they're worried that the taxes are going to go down as a result of property value going down. So in those particular areas, they establish those boundaries so that they can have increased revenue coming in. So that's my general understanding of it. I'm not no expert on how a Downtown Development Authority works or a brownfield. But that's how that's kind of the primary reason that they establish them.
So what else are you hearing from the voters, Gary?
So far, I've heard.
What are they concerned about?
So far, I've heard a couple of other things. One of the things that is important is that they're asking. So basically, the request is for about $52 million to pay for this jail in the sheriff's office. And that's been explained as an inflated request. And what I mean by that is there's usually about a 2.5% markup in the event that there's cost runovers. Well, in this particular case, there's about a 20% markup. And that was my request because I wanted to make sure we don't have to go back and ask for additional money in the event that inflation causes a lot of problems for us, or gas prices, or the war in Ukraine, and God only knows what else could cause us additional problems. So that's why there's this huge markup. So what do we do if there's extra money at the end? Well, because this is specifically for the jail and the sheriff's office, the law requires that the millage rate be lowered in proportion to whatever we need specifically for those things. Mm-hmm. So if it's lowered, we lower the millage. And that's the way it's going to have to work. So the worst,
it's kind of a sliding scale.
That's really exactly right. Worst case scenario is it's one mil.
Yeah.
And that's what we're asking for. So some of the other things that have been asked is why doesn't the county partner with one of the state prisons? And frankly, the law prohibits it.
Yeah.
We can't put people who have been convicted of a felony and sentenced to prison in with people who are pretrial detainees who are innocent until proven guilty. So we simply can't do that.
That would be a nightmare.
It would be a nightmare. And in addition to that, a prison is different than a jail. So a prison is based upon movement. And what they do is they take people to different programming. They take them to a chow hall to eat. They do all sorts of different things like that. A jail is static. Everybody stays in their cell and awaits their trial or their sentencing or whatever the case may be. So it's a completely different setup as well. It's a different type of incarceration. The other issue was the ARPA funds with the county. The county's received... will have received somewhere in the neighborhood of $31 million in ARPA. ARPA is the American Rescue Plans Act, right, which was enacted for COVID. So why aren't we using all that money to build a new jail? Well, the short answer is there's too many strings attached to it to allow us to do that. It wasn't just given to us to do carte blanche, whatever we wanted.
Right.
There was a lot of strings attached to it. What we've been able to come up with through our attorneys looking at it is that approximately $3 million of it can be justified as used for the building and renovation of the jail out on Channer Road so we can add on. So that's essentially all of the questions. There was one big question in the end. So if you don't get this, are you cutting road patrol? Absolutely not. You know, a lot of people have this misconception that the sheriff has the primary responsibility of just running the jail. That is true, but it's also equally important that we provide public safety. So we have to maintain a patrol force in order to do that. So there's no plans at all that we're going to put anybody out of work, that we're going to lay off sheriff's deputies. Frankly, we don't have enough. And I have no plans in doing anything like that.
You answer a lot of calls every day.
You aren't kidding. There is a lot. And a lot of folks just don't understand that. But I was hoping to get that out so folks could digest it a little bit in order to make their decision.
Did you follow what happened over in Wayne County with the cost overruns?
Yes. There was a couple of cost overruns in a couple of other areas as well. I just don't want to be in that ship. I want to make sure that everything is taken care of and we've taken into consideration all the potentials for cost overruns here so that we can we don't have to go back to the voters and say, hey, we need more. And I'm confident we've got that taken care of.
How much pressure is there, Gary, with the, I guess, the current work environment down there?
There's a lot of pressure. You know, a lot of the things that are going on inside of the facility, you know, even today, we have a leak right now that's sewer inside of our facility. We can't figure out where it's coming from. A portion of it is out in our back hallway. A portion of it is in our bullpen. A lot of people call that the drunk tank. So we're trying to figure that out. At the same time, we have our four isolation cells are filled, and they're always filled. We have subjects that are in there that have some severe mental health problems. They've acted out and assaulted some people. So we have to house them. And COVID is still an issue for us. We're still operating under March 2020 guidelines inside of our jail, and we have to do it that way. So,
do you still see positive tests?
Oh yeah, we have as of yesterday, and this changes every day.
Yeah.
As of yesterday, we had four positives and I believe 28 cohorts inside the facility. We've had it as high as 56 and 109 cohorts. CDC guidelines, and I say guidelines because that's what they say, but they're actually mandates for us, and there's a lot of reasons for that. They mandate that we keep the people who have COVID isolated for 5 days, the people who are exposed to COVID isolated for 10 days. Incidentally, that's the only thing that's changed since March 2020. It used to be we isolated them for 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 10. And then we have to keep the people who are cohorts isolated from one another as well. So we can intermix the people who have COVID and put them in one cell, but everybody else has to stay in separate cells. So it's a chess game. And then when you add on to that visitations, additional bookings and arrests that come in, We have Zoom court. We have court where we have to take people physically over into the courthouse. And then when we bring them back from the courthouse, because they left the confines of the building, they have to be isolated from everyone for 5 days. So they're in quarantine for 5 days as well. They can't go back in the general population. So there's all sorts of different kinds of juggling that's going on down there. And frankly, the physical plant's just not large enough for us to be able to do it. Modern facility allows us to have these cells separated so that there's different climate controls inside of each one and air exchangers inside of each one that allow us to keep the integrity, if you will, of that particular cell so it doesn't spread over into the other ones. And we wouldn't violate the CDC guidelines by doing that.
Gary, if this passes, does that aid and assist you in with the mental health issue?
Oh, absolutely. So one of the things that is recommended for a county our size is that we have 25 isolation cells. We have four. So in the plan, it calls for 25 isolation cells. And incidentally, four cells will be padded for mental health reasons. Those isolation cells are really important because they're going to be right there and visible by the control center. So we can see in all of the time. These are the folks that come in and have difficulty for one reason or another. Maybe it's mental health. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's a catastrophe that they were involved in. For instance, a drunk driver and an injury arrest kind of a thing. And so we'll have them in those cells, and it's the most dangerous time is that 48 hours after arrest as to whether or not they attempt suicide. We need to be able to visually see them the entire time. These isolation cells allow for that.
Do you get a lot of people that wind up with you that probably shouldn't be there?
Oh, for sure. There's a lot of instances of mental health that cause a person that's suffering from a mental health malady to act out in an assaultive way and hurt someone. And then, of course, they come to jail. For instance, we had a person just a couple of weeks ago that was in jail for acting out against his caregiver. And assaulted them and brutally assaulted them, hurted them. And I understand that that person needs to be held accountable. There's nothing really that we can do for that person when they're in the jail, but lock them up. And that person sits in the cell and cries for their mom the entire time. So they have a mentality of a child. Mm-hmm. And they're crying for their mom, and there's nothing that we can do for them. We do the best that we can to try and comfort them. And of course, that takes one of our isolation cells up. Do they need mental health treatment? Do they need some other type of treatment? They absolutely do. We, unfortunately, as a community, I should say, this is a problem not just in Jackson, but everywhere. We don't have an answer for that. We're still searching for it. So what do? In the meantime, is we lean on the county jails. And this is the quandary that we're in.
So you did quite a number of VIP tours through the jail. What was the general response?
I just did another one last night.
Yeah.
The general overall response is shock and awe. When they come in and they see the facility firsthand, people say, absolutely crazy that you have to live like this in this type of environment and people work like this. And frankly, they applaud our deputies, literally applaud our deputies. When I take them down into the booking area and I show them what they are keeping their finger on the pulse of every day and how they have saved, and this is not an exaggeration, they've saved 11 people from suicide attempts just this year alone inside of our facility. And the way that they do it under the conditions that they do it in, they literally applaud them. And it's happened in almost every group that's gone through. So everybody after they've left there has told me that they are in favor of a new millage for a jail. But we'll see what happens at the end.
Yeah. So again, standard language on the ballot.
That's correct. The Downtown Development Authority, the local development authorities that are on the ballot, that is standard language.
Jackson County Sheriff Gary Schutte. Thanks, Gary, for the visit.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.